Okay, so we are going to start in about a half a minute the Mishnah on Mem Pesam and Beis. Mishnah number one on Mem Pesam and Beis. Again, the Mishnah is continuing with its list of things that A means B, but B doesn't mean A. We had that in a number of things. We had it by Simon HaTachton and Simon HaElyon by a woman, and then we had it by Maisi HaMachnes with a nail and a bone, and Medrash and Tamei Meis. Now we have it in the next case, which is Dr. Mishnah. Kol haroi lodin dinei mamonos, don dinei nefashos, roi lodin dinei mamonos. One who's eligible to paskin dinei nefashos is automatically eligible to paskin dinei mamonos. But yes, a roi lodin dinei mamonos, vein a roi lodin dinei nefashos. However, there are those that can paskin dinei mamonos, but they can't paskin dinei nefashos. Rashi, Dr. Rashi, kol haroi lodin dinei nefashos, koskein, shukashu ledinei mamonos. For sure, if he's kosher for nefashos, he'll be kosher for mamonos. Meaning the bar of being able to paskin dinei nefashos is a higher bar than being able to paskin monetary shilas. Now, the difference in numbers we're not saying. Dinei nefashos needs a bezin of 23. Dinei mamonos only needs a bezin of 3. But we're talking about the qualifications of the judges. Amar of Yehuda, lasuya mamzer. Who is the kol? Who is this person that we allow him to paskin monetary questions and not dinei nefashos questions, not questions of life and death? The answer is, it's a mamzer. Dr. Rashi, lasuya mamzer, the kosher li dinei mamzer, who paskin dinei nefashos, duchsev, in my dinei nefashos it says, kulach yafar reyasi, we darshan a pasuk that the whole bezin, Yossi means my friend, referring to Bezin over there, should all be beautiful, which means with nobody being puzzled in it. Now again, I'm just pointing out, a mamzer did nothing wrong on his own. He didn't do anything wrong. The mamzer is created either by the fact that one of his parents is a mamzer, but the original mamzer was created because his parents acted inappropriately with an Isser Karis, right? Like, could be brother and sister, it could be Eishes Ish, could be whatever it was. He was a result of a union of inappropriate behavior of Karis or worse, and he's a mamzer. So it's not really his fault, but reality is reality. And his reality is he's a mamzer, and therefore he can't paskin dinei nefashos. Dr. Gemara Vayter, Tanina Chadazimna. This is a Mishnah elsewhere. The Mishnah says in I believe it's in Sanhedrin. Okay, it's Sanhedrin. Everybody is kosher to paskin dinei mamonos, and not everybody is paskin dinei nefashos. And we asked over there, what is the hakoil? Who is this hakoil that's kosher for mamonos and not for nefashos? Why do I need two mishnas to tell us the same thing? Dr. Gemara, you're right. Chazal lasuya ger, lechazal lasuya mamzer. A ger cannot paskin dinei nefashos because we learn it out from a pasuk that all appointments of importance have to be mikarev achicha, have to be a born Jew, cannot be a convert. So therefore, for mamonos, he's kosher. For nefashos, he's not kosher. So that's one mishnah hakoyel includes ger, and one mishnah includes mamzer. Utsrichi, and I need to include both. Yes, meaning ger, from the royal love of a kol. I would say ger, even though he wasn't born Jewish, but the bottom line is he can marry a Jewish girl. Ava mamzer, yei roi lava b'kol, he cannot marry a regular Jewish girl. He can marry a mamzeres, who's a Jewish girl, but he can't marry a regular Jewish girl. Hey, maloi, I would say he can't even pass to mamzer. We ask me na mamzer, mishim dekasim yitipa p'shera, he was born Jewish. Ava ger dekasim yitipa p'sula, he wasn't born Jewish. Hey, maloi, maybe he can't pass to dine mamzer. That's why the Mishnah writes in two places, includes one in one place and one in the other place. Rashi?
Neither place says ger, though.
Neither place says mamzer either. It just says hakoil. A kol. That's a riboy. That means somebody but including somebody that can paskin din in a pashas, but can paskin din in mamonis. Who is that one that we're including?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Mishnah said it twice means two different things. I just want to point out, Ger has no restrictions whatsoever as far as marital ability. He can marry anybody he wants. A Geiris can't marry a Kayan, but a Ger can marry anybody he wants, no restrictions. And he can be, and he can, you know, get any aliyah. He's not restricted in many, in most ways. Only restriction is he can't pass kedin in the fascist, and he can't become king and things like that. A mamzer has no restrictions either, except in marriage, right? The Mishnah tells us in Hurrius, the question of giving kavod to a mamzer tamachacham or a kain gadol amaretz, the mamzer tamachacham gets more kavod because he earned his kavod. A mamzer is not precluded from being the biggest person, being a Talmud Chacham. He's just, because he's a mamzer, has restrictions on who he can marry. Dr. Mr. Weiss.
Can he be a Kohen? Can he remain a Kohen?
That's a good question. This is dealt with in the Achrayim in Yevamos. Pastus, a mamzer loses his kohuna, cannot serve in the Beit HaMikdash, and he even loses Levi as well, it seems like. He's like Yisrael, except that he can't marry a Jewish girl. Let me explain the logic. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, his kid can't be a Kohen. So you would assume that a mamzer is worse than a Cholol. Cholol has no restrictions vis-a-vis a Jewish girl, just has restrictions of being a Kohen. So for sure, a mamzer who has restrictions. Dr. Mr. Weiter, Kolar Kosher Lodin Kosher Lahoyed. Whoever is a Kosher Adayan is Kosher to be a testify. However, the yes, the kosher lahoyed, rein a kosher lodin. There are people that are capable of testifying. They're kosher to testify, but they're not kosher to be a dayan. Dr. Gemara Lasuyamai, who is this person that could be an aid and can't be a dayan? Lasuya summa ba'akas me'ainav, person that's blind in one eye. He's a kosher aid, he can see, but there's a special halacha by dayan we will see, that he has to be able to see with both eyes. And therefore, he's restricted from being a judge. Again, he can see. If he's totally blind, can't be an aide either, because he can't testify that he saw anything. Right? So he's limited. Whereas, if he's blind in one eye, Rahman al-Islam, he can testify. He saw. But as a dayan, we'll have a pasuk in a minute that says that he cannot be a judge, according to one man, the Amar, which the Mishnah is going like. Rashi, the kosher lahoyed, he's kosher to testify. There ain't a kosher lodin, and he's not kosher to judge. I will be staying of a filuleidus puzzle. I say by raw, he has to see. How can he testify? Even though he can say, I recognize their voices, but he didn't see anything. Without seeing, it's very hard to say. It's impossible to testify. Umbani, who is the Tana that says that a blind person can't be a judge? The mayor, I'm one eye. I'm talking about one eye. Is there a mayor? That's right. The puzzle, summa ba'achas me'enav lotin, he puzzles a blind person in one eye to be a judge. Why does he puzzle it? The Tanya. Hayer a mayor aimer. Ma talmud leimer, al piyam yeh koriv v'chol nega. This pasuk is written by Egla Rufo, and it says that the kahanim go out and they measure the cities, and there's a whole nusach over there. In fact, at the end of last week's parsha, about Egla Rufa, when they found the dead body. And when it describes the Kahanim, and it says, according to them, they judge all arguments and all questions of Negoim. Why did the Torah put Riv and Naga next to each other? We know what Kahanim do. This is not where the Torah is teaching us what Kahanim's jobs are. We know Kahanim paskin Negoim. We know Kahanim many, many times are involved in Besen. So why does the Torah have to say, through the Kahanim, the Torah equates or puts together, compares, Riv and Nega. Ma inyer rivim etzel negoim. What is arguments, which are monetary arguments, have to do with negoim? To tell us, makish rivim le negoim. If the Torah is coming to tell me, you should compare the ability to judge monetary arguments to the ability to paskin negoim. Ma negoim biyoim. Just like Negoim have to be seen by daylight, to say, Ubiyoim he rois by, cannot see it by candlelight or by torchlight. The Kayan has to see the Nega by daylight, right? and it's not, he can't paskin it. Afriven b'yayin. So we also learn now that monetary cases have to take place by day and not by night. No part of monetary cases can take place at night, according to Rameyer. This is Rameyer talking. Eman negoyim seloy b'suma. A blind kohen cannot paskin, even if he's blind in one eye. Why? The higher he can see, the sib l'chol mare enei akohen. The chol, it could have said l'mare enei akohen, to the look of the eyes of the kohen. What does the chol mare enei akohen teach me? To tell me he has to have complete vision with both eyes. Af rivim seloy b'suma. Also, rivim have to be paskin because it's a hekesh, not because it logically follows. It's a hekesh, doesn't have to be logical. The Torah is comparing A to B by juxtaposing the two psukim together. And we make the hekesh. A hekesh is like a highway. You can pass things one way and then pass things the other way. Just like dine mamonis can be relatives. We don't trust relatives to paskin. So it can have a relative of whoever he's seeing. If a kohen has a relative that has a nega, he cannot be the paisik. So why don't we make a hekesh and say, just like monetary cases need three dayonim, so negoim should need three kohanim to paskin the nega. But then it makes sense. When we're judging about his money, we do it with three people. Gufo loikoskin, shouldn't for sure when we judge his body also be three people? He's brought to Aaron or to one of his children. That's what it says by Parshas Nedoyim. Just one of his children. That even a Kayan can see Nedoyim. So this Brisa was Hayer Rameyer Omer. We started at the beginning. This is Rameyer's statement. He is the one that says that a blind person in one eye cannot be a judge. But the Rabbanim don't agree to it. This is Rameyer's rush up, as we will see as the Gemara proceeds. But the Rabbanim hold, no, that even a person that's blind in one eye can paskin hilchus negoyim. Rashi? Shloi besumim, afilu besumim achas be'enav. By nega, how do I know that? The siv l'chol mara eni akayin. Ad the ikka kuloi mara, the whole business. He has to be able to see totally. Ma Reven Shaleba Kraven, the Nafkalan, Mila Yumsu Avasabanim. We learn it out from a Yumsu Avasabanim. Right? That's how I know that you can't have a Dayan be a relative. Afnikoim. En Kayan Raya Nega Kraibai. Kayan cannot see Nega Kraibai. Let me explain. We need a Pasik for relatives. Because even though one would say it's logical because a relative is a Negev, whatever he is involved, he has Negev, I don't know what the word in English for Negev is. He is a part. What word am I looking for? Is there a?
Not
he's
what? He's not impartial.
He's partial. He's not impartial. Thank you. So, but it's Moshe Rabbeinu, who's impartial to everybody, should be able to paskin. The answer is it's exeris harkasev. Even Moshe can't paskin his sister's negon. The Medrash says, why couldn't Moshe paskin the nega by Miriam, because he was a karev. He couldn't paskin Miriam's nega. The Rabbanim said, I'm not to paskin Miriam's nega. Hashem said, Tishtag Yeshivas Yemim. It wasn't Aaron couldn't paskin it, and Moshe couldn't paskin it. They were both related. And therefore, Miriam's nega had to be paskin by Hashem, Tishtag Yeshivas Yemim. As negoyim, en kaya roya, nega kroyva. He can't paskin the nega of his relative. Okay. By the way, I just quickly say a story. Shlomo Zalman once came to a chasana. I read this in a book from Shlomo Lawrence, that he came to a chasana, and they told him that one of the Eid of Kedushin doesn't have proper hashkafas. He doesn't have the proper belief system. And he's going to be, he was a Rav, but he was a Rav that was a little bit off the D, and he did not believe all the things he was supposed to believe. And he's going to be one of the Eid. Now, Shlomo Zalman wouldn't want to be Mesada Kedushin, but one of the Eid of Kedushin doesn't pass the test of being a kosher aid. So Shlomo Zalman walked over to the person and said, I need you to do me a favor. And the guy said, what's the favor? He said, I never was an aid kedushin in my life, Shlomo Zalman said. I'm always looking for an opportunity to be an aid kedushin. I never had anybody that was going to be one of the Edom that could be a Masada Kedushin. Can you do me a favor? Can you be Masada Kedushin? And I'll be the aid. And the person looked at Rabbi Zalman and said, how can I do that? The whole place will go crazy. Rabbi Zalman is my aid. I'm the Masada Kedushin. Rabbi Zalman said, you're doing me a personal favor. Please, you be the Masada Kedushin, and I'll be the witness. So the guy agreed. And therefore, Rabbi Zalman was the aid. And he was the Masada Kedushin. It doesn't say a Masada Kedushin has to be a kosher aid. So therefore, it's interesting because in a certain sense, he was like a judge. He wasn't really a judge. And he was Pasul Edus, and he was the Masada Kedushin. So I just thought it was interesting with this Mishnah. Something about Reiter.
Somebody who knew Shlomo Zalman very well told me he thought he was the nicest person in the world.
Yep, he was. That's why he did it this way.
Right.
Ahu Samya, there was a blind person, the Habib B'Shavusa de Rabbi Eichelen, that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Eichelen. He paskened, he judged. And Rabbi Eichelen didn't say anything to him. Frank the Gemara, how could Rabbi Eichelen ignore that a blind person is judging monetary cases? Rabbi Eichelen paskened is like a Mishnah that's taught without an argument, like our Mishnah. Whoever can paskin can be an aid, but there are people that can be an aid and can't be a dayan. That's the blind person with one eye. That the Mishnah says it's possible, like Reb Meir. So how could Reb Yechanan allow this dark blind person to judge?
Gemara, one eye or two eyes?
One eye.
One eye or two eyes?
One eye. I don't know that it's one eye, but for sure two eyes is possible. Yeah, Rabbi Eichelen allowed this judge. I don't know if he had one eye or two eye blind. It doesn't say. I don't know. It could be with two eyes. But the question is, even with one eye, it's possible the Stam Mishnah says, God for Rabbi Eichelen let him judge. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Eichelen and Stam Achrina Askach. Rabbi Eichelen found another Stam Mishnah that said the other way. None. Dini Mamanis, Dunim B'yayim, B'gayim B'layla. You start monetary cases by day, and you finish them at night. Now, according to Reb Meir, that would be illegal, because you have to do it from nega, that the whole thing has to be done by day. Now, the Rabbanon have a different source for the halacha. You have to start by day. It comes from another pasuk of Yoyim Hanchilo Yezmanov, that the monetary cases have to start during daylight, but they can be finished at night, which is not like Reb Meir, and that's a Stam Mishnah. So Rabbi Yechanan said, I paskin like that Stam Mishnah, which is like the Rabbanon. And they don't paskin that a blind person is possible to be an aid. They don't make the hekish between Rebim and the Goyim. And therefore, I paskin like that Stam Mishnah. Correct the Gemara, my Uma, high summer, the high summer. How did Rabbi Yechanan know which one to go by? Why wasn't he Machmer? What gives one Stam more strength than the other Stam? Dr. Gemara, Ibai same as Stam of the Rabbim Adav. That goes like the majority opinion. This Stam goes like a mayor with a minority opinion. So when you're faced with two Stam Mishnahs, and one is like the minority opinion, and one is like the majority opinion, you go with the majority opinion over the minority opinion. That's why he picked that Stam. Nibai Yisema, the Tanala Gabeuchas of the Daini. That Stam Mishnah is written by the Halachas of a Dayan. It's a Masechta Sanhedrin. This is a Masechta Nida. It's really out of place. Usually we say a Stam Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. But when you have a choice of which Stam, you would go with the Stam that's in place, which is the Stam in the Masechta Sanhedrin. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan and Paskin, that a blind person can be a Dayan. Rashi? Yes.
Isn't it the case that in a monetary trial that if there is no one qualified to Paskin, that if the two participants agree on someone, that decision by that person is binding?
That goes under the halakha of arbitration.
Okay, it's arbitration.
So it's not a din, it's not a dayan.
So you're saying the reference to dayan? Okay.
Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Gaimrim Balila, Almalay Maksidan Rivim Lenegoyim, by allowing them to finish at night, we're not comparing monetary cases to Negoyim. The Ksiv will be Yoim Haroiz by Basar Chai. By Negoyim, it says when you see the raw, the healthy flesh, whatever the halach is over there. Just like we see that Rabbanan don't make the hekif when it comes to the question of night, Asla Inyan Suma, the Inyan Suma, Nami Le Makis. So it makes sense if they don't make the hekish. A hekish is a highway. You use it, you use it. If you're not using it, that means for whatever reason you don't see it's a hekish, which I, by the way, don't know why. I don't know why they don't use the hekish, but the bottom line is they don't use the hekish. Some of the Rambam, Ahidol El, a Kaminan Kareem Meir. Our Mishnah is like a mayor. The Yachidu, he's an individual. The Tanila Gabehokas of the Daini. Sanhedrin, the Kamairi Kula Masechta Medina. Sanhedrin, that's the subject of the Masechta. Hilkach Ikehu, that's the main thing. Habahach, Ritanlo Hachigabinida, Elagab Gorora. Right? This doesn't belong in Masechta's Nida. It's pulled along. It's Kani Kiyaitse by, because we wanted to show similar cases. That A is B and B is not A, right? We had this, the whole Mishnah, all these Mishnayas are giving us examples. So really, this is not the place. So if this would be the only Sam, we would go by it. When we have a choice of Sam, you want to go with the Sam that's written in the place where the Sam belongs, which is a Masechta Sanhedrin. Okay, next Mishnah. Kol Shechaya B'maisis, Metame Tumas Eichlin. I'm going to read the Mishnah and then I will explain it. Yes, Metame Tumas Eichlin, V'ein Shechaya B'maisis. Okay, I mentioned yesterday that not everything is makabel tuma. To be makabel tuma, it has to be a person, a yid, a keli, or food or drink. Now, what there are questionable things, are they considered food or not considered food? Many shilas, certain foods, certain items, do we qualify them as food or not? Which we're not going to get into cases over here, but there are questions throughout Shas. In Brachas, there's a few cases, whether it qualifies as food or not, because a lot of people don't eat it, some people do eat it. It's a big shiloh. But the rule is, if it's food for Maisris, meaning if it's something that the Torah wants you to give Maisr, Torah did not say to give Maisr, I'm sorry, let me explain. When we use the word Maisr in the Mishnayos, it means Maisr of a grain, fruit, vegetables. You don't mean you're Maisr of your money. It's not Maisr in the Gemara. So when the Mishnah says maisris, it means food items. So therefore, if it's chayev and maisris as a food item, you know that this is a good enough food item that it can become tameh as food. It can become tameh if it touches a sheretz. However, there are some food items that we make tameh, but we don't make them pay give maisr off. So the Mishnah again is telling you A equals B, B does not equal A. If it's chayev and maisris, you know that it's a food item to become tameh. If it becomes tameh, that does not necessarily mean it's a food item for maisris. So Krashi, kol shechayev b'maisris matame tumas eichlin, the ein lo chayev b'maisr elo eichol. The chi of maisris is by food, and therefore, if it's chayev b'maisris, it's a food. Vasuya mai, what is matame tumas eichlin and not chayev b'maisris? Vasuya baser dagim ubeyim, food items that don't grow in the ground. They are chayev in. They are susceptible to tumah. They are food items, but at the same time, they don't grow in the ground. And since they don't grow in the ground, they are not chayev b'maisr. So the Mishnah is saying clearly, any food item that grows is a food item. Any food item does not necessarily mean it grows in the ground, and therefore won't be chayev b'maisr. There's no Greek Kiddush here, except the Mishnah is doing this whole thing, contrasting A equals B, B does not equal A. Not the Mishnah Vayter. The next one. Kol shechayev b'peya, chayev b'maisris. Shechayev b'maisris, v'ein chayev b'peya. There's multiple halachas that affect growing items in your field. Let's say you have a field, I'll pick grain. You have a field of grain, so besides having to give trumas and maisris after you harvest it, you have to leave over to the poor people peya. Peya, rabbinically, is a 60th of whatever grows. You have to leave it behind. It's called peya, which is a corner, because it's usually given in the corner to makoikos tanoim, whether it has to be given in the corner, or you can give it anywhere in your field. but you have to give, and it's called peya. Now, not all things that grow are chayiv and peya. However, everything that's chayiv and peya is chayiv and maestris. There are things that grow that are chayiv and maestris that are not chayiv and peya, which means the rules of peya and the rules of maestr vary. Not everything that grows in the ground is a chayiv peya, but a lot of things that have a chiyav, anything that does have a chiyav peya has a chiyav meiser. There are things that have a chiyav meiser and they don't have a chiyav peya. And the Mishnah, the Gemara will elaborate what the rules are for peya and what the rules are for meiser. Dr. Mishnah, Rasuya Mai, Rasuya Tena, V'yerek, a fig tree and vegetables. She'ena chayav peya. They, you don't have to leave over on your fig tree anything for the poor. Nor do you have to leave over vegetables, anything for the poor. Why? None. This is the rule of peya. Klal amru bepeya. The rule of peya is kosu aichu, any food item, v'nishmar, and it's watched, meaning it's not hefker. Meaning if you go to a hefker field, you're not chayav to leave peya if you harvest a hefker field. V'gedula min haaretz, and it grows and it gets nutrition from the ground. Now here comes the key here. It's harvested at the same time. It's not a type of produce that grows at different intervals and you keep going back and forth to harvest part of the tree here and part of the tree 2 months from now and part of the tree 3 weeks from now. There's one harvest season and machnisa lekim, and it's something that has a extended shelf life. It doesn't rot quickly. Those are the rules of peya. Chayav the peya. So these are the rules. So again, to be chayav and peya, it has to be a food item. It has to be watched, meaning it has to have an owner. It has to grow from the ground. It has nutrition from the ground. It has to be one harvest season, not scattered harvest seasons. And it has to have an extended shelf life. And the Mishnah will explain what each of these exclude. Aichu, lemutei sfichei stis b'kaitza, sticha stim b'kaitza. These are things that grow. Sfichei means the seeds that fall down, but it doesn't make a difference. It's just saying, stim and kaitza are not used to eat. I don't know what they are. I don't know if Artsko translates them. Does Artsko give a translation? I can't hear. Did Artsko translate it? What?
Just sing it over to Dr. Schwab.
Translate what?
Translate. Sfichei satim.
We're talking about the
aftergrowth. I can't hear, so I'll just say it's things that are grown for dye, not for eating.
Safflower.
Safflower and woad.
Safflower? So safflower it is. Not that I know what safflower is. I don't know what stem is either. As Rabbi Heidemann taught me years ago, it doesn't make a difference which language you don't know what you're talking about. V'nishmar l'mutei hefker. That means hefker is not chayav and peya. V'gedulim in ha'aretz l'mutei kameim u'patrias. Nutrition from the ground is to remove truffles and mushrooms that get their nutrition more from the air than they do from the ground. U'l'kitasa ke'echad. Lemute te'ena. Fig trees don't all ripen at the same time, and you have to go back to do different times to harvest different amounts of figs. And machnisa lekiem, lemute yerek. Vegetables have a very short shelf life, and therefore they are not chayav and peya. However, by meiser, bilu gabi meiser tanan, by meiser it says, kosu eichu, same requirement, has to be a food item, v'nishmar, and it's what? We can do them in aret, and it gets nutrition from the ground. Chayav b'maisris. Notice that it left out the last two. It doesn't say it needs one harvest season, and it doesn't say it needs an extended shelf life. That means maiser is even on figs and on vegetables, whereas peya doesn't have figs and vegetables. That's where our Mishnah can say, if it's chayav and peya, it's chayav b'maisris. But if it's chayav b'maisris, it's not chayav and peya. Like Tani, then it has to have one harvest season and you have to bring it in for a longer shelf life, it doesn't say, period. So therefore, we have an exact, this is the pshat in our Mishnah, Rashi. Yes.
This is Meiser Raisa?
No, depends on what. Again, these rules are for everything. The Raisa is only on Dagon, Tiras, and Yitzhar, according to Rashi's Sheet of the Rajas. Grain, oil, and wine. Means grain, olives, and grapes. Midaraisa.
Thank you.
Rabbanan expanded it. And their expansion of Meiser is a greater expansion than by Peya. The Mishnah is not dealing Daraisa. The Mishnah is dealing practical. Now Rashi is going to give you why Peya is different than Meiser. Does Rashi be Peya? Does Rashi? Dumya the Kutcher. The Torah wants it similar to harvest. The Machnisa Lakim, harvest grain, has a longer shelf life. The Ika Kohani, it has all these requirements. It has one harvest season. It, all the things that we mentioned, it's food and it's watched and it's nutrition from the ground and it's one harvest season and it's shelf life. Machnisa Lakim, to Adam Yachal Aitzroi. You can storage it. The mutei sviches tis lekaitza. The ein eichel. These are not food items. And the min seva, they're kinds of dye. This is crook. Kaitza is whatever it is. The lo yadana might not get svichim. Why svichim means it didn't plant that way. It fell to the ground. Why did the Mishnah have to give sviches tis lekaitza? Because stim lekaitza. It could have said stim lekaitza. Kedumali. The Rashi wants to say that when you plant stem and kaitza, they're edible. It's only when they fall to the ground and they grow as an afterthought, that's when the plants are not edible. That's what Rashi says he thinks that is. Rashi's speculating, but when Rashi speculates, it's the Torah speculating. When I speculate, it's a guess. Teina, Eina misbashelis ke'echad, doesn't ripen at the same time.
Yes. They did not use safflower for oil like we do.
I guess not. Again, assuming that it's safflower, you know what I mean? How do I know what it is?
Right. Rabbeinu says so.
I'm sorry?
I said Rabbeinu says so.
I know. I said, with Rabbeinu, you're right. Ve'ilu l'kitasa ke'achad, the mamayate. Well, according to Rashi, maybe yes, because Rashi differentiates between safflower that you plant than safflower that's from a fallen seed. The planted ones, Rashi said, are edible. It's the ones that fall down that are not the same quality. Rashi's bothered by the word svichim. Svichim means you didn't plant it, the seed fell to the ground. So Rashi wants to know, why did the Gemara have to say sviche? So it just says stim v'kaitza. So Rashi says, I think that stim v'kaitza are edible, except the svichim are not edible. So I don't know if you make oil out of sviche, stim v'kaitza. Those two conditions by Peya that excluded figs and vegetables. But Tani, it doesn't say that by Meiser, right? Alma Te'ena V'Yerek, Hayav B'Meiser. So you see a fig and vegetables are Chaya by Meiser. V'Drabona. V'Drabona, V'Drabona, V'Drashi says it clearly. V'Dagan, Tirash, Yitzar, grain, wine, and oil. Zakti Gemara Vayter. V'mhoyu behem, it's supposed to be v'im, sumim u'b'tzalim, chayagim. The Rashi wants, the Gemara Bryce is telling me that, by Peya, that if it has garlic and onions planted amongst the vegetables, then the garlic and onions are chayav, even though they are types of vegetables, because they are machnisa l'kiyim. They are vegetables, with the, I don't know exactly, right, whatever you want to call them, but with the Gemara refers to them as yerek. They do have a shelf life, and therefore they're not excluded. The Rashi sumim b'tzalim nachnis l'kiyim l'ficha chayavim b'peya der chayav b'peya. Right, it's a Mishnah. Mal b'nois b'tzalim shebein hayerek. They used to plant, and I don't know why. They used to have had the vegetable field, and then in between the rows, they had little squares where they planted garlic or onions, and then they had further vegetables, then another square, further vegetables, and another square, and that's how they planted it. So even though the vegetables not chayiv and peya, the garlic and onions are. Now the question is, do we view them as one field, or since they're separated by the vegetables, each square is its own field? You have to leave peya at every field. Now, if I have a very large field, I can leave peya in one corner. If I have a field separated and then another field, let's say there's a street in between, so then I can't give peya on one for the other. Each field needs its own peya. So the discussion over there is, if I have a big vegetable field, and in the middle of the vegetable field, I have squares of either garlic or onions, is each square its own field because it's separated by vegetables, or is it considered one field? Tafkamina is, I give the same amount, but can I give it in one place for the whole thing or not? So it says over there, Ma'obanais b'tzolim, the squares, the rows of onions, Shebein hayerek, Reb Yaisi ha'emer pei mikolachas v'yachas. Reb Yaisi says that you give pei from each one because it's each one is considered its own field because there is vegetables in between. And it's considered one field. So we see that certain vegetables, like shuman and betzalim, are chayiv and peya. Rashi, ma'al b'nai surayt, mikol echad ve'echad, the yerek ha'geruah, be'sura l'sura, mafstik l'hu. The row that separates between the vegetables that separate between the rows breaks up the field. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, olsin, what is olsin? According to Rabbeinu, what?
Olsin. He says Olsin.
Okay, Olsin. Asif Usmai Rashi says Kristla. Okay, so our school doesn't know what it is, either do I. Now, it used to be either used for animal food or for human food. Now, if you plant it for animal food, it's not chayiv and pay it in maishas. Only human food is chayiv. Now, it has to do with what you're intending. So, the zara metzila lebehema, you planted it with the intention to use it for your animal. Then, v'nimla chalayim liyadam. And then, before harvest time, I'm sorry. I just have to turn my page. Right. And then, you decided to change your mind. They're going to use it for human food. It's not considered, now, animal food is not makabel tumah. Human food is makabel tumah. Now, you decided to make it human food when it was still attached to the ground. That doesn't help. Since the original planting was for animal food, it's not considered human food till after you harvest it, you say you're going to use it for humans. If not, it's not considered a food item. That's called machsheves mechuber, a machsheva that's done, ksavar, machsheves chibur, loishma machsheva. A machsheva that's done when it's attached to the ground is not enough to give it a change its status. It changed its status. I don't know why. One of Rashi will tell me, I don't remember in preparation why. Let's do Rashi. Tzricha machshava l'achila, v'shuf t'tayim etum v'sayichlim. Then it will be matam etum v'sayichlim. She'achashav aleim lachas l'ishastam l'aichlam. If after he harvests them, he thinks to eat them. V'avagav v'gav v'chashav b'chiburon. Even though he thought about it when it was attached, right? Shari nimlach aleim l'adam, he changed his mind. Still, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, why it doesn't work, I don't know. Does Archko explain why? I didn't see an explanation here in the Masifta. What?
Is there any call over the border? Over here.
I can't hear you.
Did the Rebbe go over the halacha? I missed it. I'm sorry.
Can I go over what?
Is start with Tzricha on the top.
Okay, Tzricha is Machshava L'Tziyit L'Shu. You have to think to be a human food after it's harvested. Even though you change your mind while it was growing, that doesn't affect its status. It's still animal food. Machshava and Machshava Tzibur, and Machshava that you have when it's still attached to the ground, Loishma Machshava is not good enough to change its status from a human food, from an animal food to a human food. So if you want it to be considered a food for Tumas Eichlin, you have to think about it after it gets detached. I don't know why this is true, but that's what it's saying.
He says since it's the intention to use these ulshin for human consumption that reclassifies them as a food and makes them fit, the intention must take place at a time when they are fit to become tameh. And since a plant attached to the ground cannot become tameh, the intention to reassign the ulshin for human consumption...
Meaning, when it's attached, it can't become tameh while it's attached. Therefore, you can't change its status there either. I got it.
Yeah.
Rashi, Tzrichas Machshava L'Achila, B'Suf T'Tamei Tumas Eichlin, then it'll be Matamei Tumas Eichlin, Tzrichashiv Aleihem Ma'achar T'Rishasan L'Eichlin. He'll think after he harvests them to eat them. V'Avagav D'Karchashiv B'Chiburon, even though he thought about it when it was attached, Sharinim L'Chaleihem L'Adam, he already changed his mind, it doesn't make a difference. Okay. I just want to start the next price and introduce it, and then we'll continue it tomorrow. Amar Rav Avanana Mitanina. We also learned this concept in a brisa. Now, the Velus Oif Tahar. The Velus Oif Tahar is a unique kind of, I don't know what word to use. It's a unique thing. It's not tameh by touch, right? No bird that dies is tameh by touch, whether it's kosher or non-kosher. But the Torah wrote in Zeres HaKosov that when I eat a dead kosher bird that wasn't sefted, I become tameh. When I eat a non-kosher bird that died, I don't become tameh. A behema, a dead animal, you touch it, you become tameh. A dead bird, I'm talking about it's not sefted. A dead bird, you touch it, you don't become tameh. A dead kosher bird that you eat, you become tameh. Now, most people did not eat dead birds. Dead birds. They didn't eat those things. It's not meant to be eaten. It's not the derech of people to eat dead birds. So if a guy decides to eat dead birds, he is making this into a food item. On its own, it's not a food item. Meaning before, let's say, you have a dead bird, a dead chicken, not shafted, and a sheretz touches it. Does it become tameh? Food items are mekabel tumah. Non-food items, we went through this, are not mekabel tumah. It's not a keli. It's not a human. It has to be a food item. A dead bird is not a food item. But if he decides that he wants to make it into a food, he's going to eat it. So then it turns into a food item when he thinks about it. The minute he thinks that he's going to eat it, this dead bird turns from a non-food item into a food item. That's one halacha. There's another halacha. Every food item has to become wet before it's susceptible to tumah. So now, you thought about this dead chicken that you're going to eat it. So you turn this dead chicken from a non-food item to a food item. But it has to become wet. And the answer is, it does not have to become wet. Because since when you eat this, this will make you severe tumah. The person that eats it will become tumah, and so will his clothing. So therefore, it's that takes away the need for it to become wet now. This is a special halacha, that anything that when you will have a more severe tumah, and it's later on, you're thinking to eat it, and when you eat it, you'll have a more severe tumah, nothing to do with food, so then even before that, it doesn't need to become wet. This is a halacha that the Mishnah says. Anything that if you ate it, will become make you strict tumah. Strict tumah means not only do you become tameh, but your clothing becomes tameh when you eat it. So doesn't need to become wet. The minute you think that you're going to eat this bird, it becomes a food item, and it's susceptible to tumah without the requirement of ever becoming wet, because it's susceptible, because in your planning, you're planning to make it a more severe tumah for yourself. Therefore, that's good enough to make it susceptible for Tumanel. I hope I explained myself well enough. We will continue Mechashem tomorrow. Again, we'll be on the phone tomorrow morning, Mechashem 6 o'clock. Everybody, have a wonderful day.